Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Hello, hello. This is Sean Lawrence, a co-host of Supernatural Station. I am taking over Roman Daniel's position right now as lead host. But Roman is with me, not only in spirit, but physically. And we're also here with Jaron Daniels.
How's it going?
I'm here against my will. They've got me taped to the wall.
Shut up, Roman. All right. We've got some interesting things here on part three for you.
We've got a lot of fun stuff for you today, for sure.
Okay, guys, we need to finish up this three-part series. Again, thank you for sticking around. I hope you guys have enjoyed parts one and two, and we will continue our Utah... What do you guys call this?
Utah Unexplained.
Utah Unexplained. I like that. So the first story we're going to get into is an experience that I can vividly remember regarding... We had talked about some anomalies going around the Utah Capitol, some of the undergrounds. So really around that area of just different kinds of weird anomalies, reptilians, strange, I want to say like cryptid and alien things. So I remember, guys, I'm just going to start it out there. Yeah, I think the time was, I was driving, so that had to have been past 2005. I can't remember the exact year. It's somewhere between 2005 and 2008, and it was all over the news in Utah. If you guys, and I, you know what's funny? Before we started this episode, I was looking around on my phone around the main search engines, and I can't find, other than Alien Dave's website, of the account that this happened, but I know it was all over the news at the time. And
you know what's weird is I vaguely remember it just a little bit. Like, as you brought it up, I was racking my brain. You know, I feel like a brain has all these little cabinets, these file cabinets where things are filed away. So I'm sitting there like a blank carcass for a second, and all of a sudden like drawers start opening up. I'm like, I feel like I remember that just a little bit, just a tad. It's still vague to me, and for some reason I don't remember it, so this is brand new to me. I'm excited.
All right, well, let's get right into it. So I was driving back from, I believe it was the Farmington area, which would be what, the north side of Salt Lake City. Okay. Yes. So it was late at night. I believe that I was coming back from a theme park we have local called Lagoon, and I was driving back, you know, after closing. So this would have been 11:30, probably 12 midnight. And there was, on my way back, you could see the Capitol Hill. There's a hill that kind of partially blocks some of Salt Lake City. If you've ever driven down I-15 going southbound. Okay. So I remember I was driving, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, right around the Capitol building, right around where all these events started taking place with everything we've talked about in that same general area, there was a bright green, I want to say laser or some kind of a light that was super bright, and it blasted all the way up to the sky, and it was the weirdest thing in the world. It was almost like, think of the Batman symbol, but it was a laser green light.
So kind of like, almost what reminds me of like a spotlight that you see for like the Halloween season at the haunted houses where they throw the spotlight around. Kind of like that is what I'm picturing, where it comes from the ground up, right, and it just shoots straight in the sky. But you're saying it's like a green light?
Yeah, I'm thinking like, I mean, I'm thinking thinking like Star Wars kind of light, like a laser blast. It was like a laser blast that lit up the sky. And I know for a fact that this came from the Capitol building.
What color green was it? Was it like dark forest green, or was it like lime sort of green?
It was like a lime. It was like a light lime. It was like a laser. It was almost like a gigantic laser.
This reminds me of the light color they described in our last episode, or I guess our last two episodes, where they talked about seeing a light emit from underneath a doorway, and they said it's like an exit sign colored light, you know, that kind of green. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it was like that kind of green, yeah.
Interesting. This reminds me of the Radio Shack mouse that you could buy at Radio Shack.
That was the best mouse ever. It was a neon green tone.
No other mouse had the neon green. So
hey,
the
Radio Shack.
They don't know Radio Shack.
Yeah, come on, Radio Shack. You got to make a comeback for us.
It was still plugged into the laptop or the PC, but I loved that mouse. It emitted this perfect lime green color, and you just felt like a baller with that mouse.
Yeah, and it lit up the room at night, too, and like when your computer started doing things on its own, it started lighting up the room, and you're laying in bed. Oh, wait, maybe you guys didn't have that experience.
How much was that mouse when you bought it, Sean? Because you had it.
It was like $15 or something. Yes. You know? But it was a USB mouse, so yeah, it was the greatest mouse of all time. I'm just going to say it out there.
When I think of green, so think about green just as kind of philosophical thing. Green for, you know, it's like an accepting color. It's like a virtuous color, probably
natural
in my mind.
Color.
Yeah, natural. Like, you know, what I wonder what green meant. Like, if it was some kind of signal to the stars or something, like, what does green mean?
Yeah, I kid you not, guys. I looked this up, and I found the article right around 12, 13, 14 years ago. And if you listeners out there can go out and Google, just try to Google or whatever your search engine is, Utah mysterious green light UFO or something. It was somewhere around those times, and it was all over the radio. It was all over the news for like the next couple of days. And I know I wasn't the only one that seen it, but it's just weird because of the experiences that we've had downtown.
You know, it makes me want to call some of the police, you know, the police factions and stuff downtown, and ask them, hey, can I just get some record on that era if you had any calls pertaining to like a green beam or a green light coming, you know, just to hear what they say.
And this was way before Tesla. You know, if you look at it now, you're going to find articles of like the new space Teslas. You're going to find like the satellites. You're going to find things that are obviously kind of obvious to the current era. But you got to remember, this was, you know, 12 to 15 years ago. And I know that there was a lot of controversy over UFOs. And so the media was really desperately trying to cover this up.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Tesla thing that happened this year or last year, it was like those millions of circles in a row,
right,
that were in the sky.
Everyone thought it was a UFO for a little bit.
Exactly. And I mean, if it was in 2007, 2008, we would be blown away by that. So I get it. I mean, who knows exactly what this was, but I mean, I feel like it ties into our part one, where there was that green light emitting through that door in the vault of the reptilian area under the Crossroads Mall.
Yeah, all I can tell you guys with this story, I know it's kind of short, but I encourage you to go look it up and see if you, again, it's right around the mid-2000s era. It's not going to be anything documented of the, you know, within the last 2 years. It's going to be beyond that.
I want to ask, did it look like, from what you could see, did it look like some of the buildings were getting illuminated? Like they have some light hitting the sidewalls of the building, or did it just look like it was shooting straight up and not hitting any physical object?
From where I was and driving down, and when I saw that beam, it didn't light. I can't remember it lighting up anything around it, like mountainside. It didn't do anything like that. It was just it almost looked multidimensional, you know, in a weird way. Or they were broadcasting some kind of message out from that area.
And how did this thing end?
It lasted maybe about a 2 second period of interval, and you know, at that time it really just made it seem, it verified some of the things that I had suspicion about going on downtown, and some of the cryptids and the underground and some of the secret cover-ups and things. And I wasn't the only one, by the way. There was a lot of people that saw this and was like, what was that? And we want answers, you know, what is going on?
But the fact that it's hidden from the public now, like you can't see it online or anything like that, again, gives me further validation. Anytime there's something like that happens and it's legit, complete, utter evidence, they're going to try to hide it as quick as they can, right? What I've learned in 2020 and beyond is that everything that they tell you is probably the opposite. So they tell you something, it's probably the opposite. Or they don't cover something, it means that it probably is true.
Yeah, and if you guys ever find it, or if you ever haven't experienced something like that, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to watch how the media reacts to something like this. And I want you to really keep an eye on the struggle. I want you to look for the struggle. I want you to look for them scrambling to come up with an answer when something they realize realize they made a mistake or they messed up.
That sounds like an alien encounter in some way. We talked about reptilians in part one. Should we get into our abduction story?
Yeah, why don't we just flow into that while we're talking about UFOs, you know?
Alrighty. So this is baffling to me because I never thought I'd be considered maybe an abductee or something, and I still don't know that I am, but my brother and I, so my wife decided that she was going to let me have a fun little kind of weekend just to me, because we have a little 5-year-old and stuff, and things can be challenging sometimes, and she's like, hey, you know what? I want you to go have a fun camping trip, because that's what you want to do, and I just want you to just let loose and have fun, right? So she was able to book a glamping trip for me, where there's basically like a tent type setup. What do they call those things? Yeah, it was a yurt, like a yurt type thing, and it had two beds in it, and she's like, I want your brother to go with you, because he wants to, you know, he's a big camper too, and we're so close, we're twins, so it's like, hey, alright, that sounds like a fun time, you know, just me and him, and just trying to bushcraft a little bit, and start our own fires, and make our own foods, and just kind of hang out for a weekend, you know, so we were doing that. I mean, we've talked about bushcrafting, we've looked up videos online about how to survive in the wilderness by yourself. I know this is a yurt, I mean, there's a bed there, there's protection from the elements and things like that, but we just wanted to get away from society. I mean, we struggle sometimes with being around so many people all the time. So being in the camping environment's fun. You're able to kind of let loose, and there's a fire pit. You can make some cool food. You can enjoy.
Yeah, and you know, taking nature, like what is offered to us by the gods, you know, like this natural beauty that we have. Like first thing I did, because I showed up a little bit early that trip, is I found a stick and I started carving it with my knife. And I basically created a little figure, kind of like, you remember Castaway, kind of like the little volleyball. It was like, it had a little face on it that I carved, and I made it like a little guy that was like my friend, you know, but in my mind it was an art piece, and it was kind of like a protector of me in the woods, you know, and it was pretty fun. But that was kind of the start of the trip, and my brother came along, and we ended up staying up late that
what
night.
What time did I get there, like 7:30, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, something like that. So it's like, you know, we haven't really had a lot of time together, so we're like, hey, let's stay up a little bit late. Plus him and I are night owls anyway, we like to stay up. So
yeah, I'm a night owl too, guys.
So what I remember is we stay up super late, we're up till about maybe 1 or 2 in the morning, right? And it's crazy because the whole camp, this is a place where there's a lot of campers, right? People that are camped out and they're renting these little spots out, and nobody's up, and we can tell that there's no sound, there's no fires, you know, so we're like, oh, I guess we must be the latest ones up. And we finally go to sleep, call it a night. The next morning is where it got crazy.
I mean, this is the weird thing, Kay. I mean, there's no fire pits on. I think I looked at my clock on my phone. It was like 11:30 at night, and that's all I remember. After that, I woke up in the morning, and I was super confused because I had this weird dream. The dream I had, I'll just get into it. I mean, I had this crazy dream, and I say dream because I don't really know what it was. I mean, I woke up in the bed, so there's that, right? I had this dream where there was this huge white and gray osprey, the bird, that was flying over top of me, landed on the side of this fence or building area, and was looking directly at me. And I woke up Roman, and I had this weird feeling about it. It just felt weird. The osprey was huge. It was like triple the size of any osprey I've ever seen in real life.
Was it like floating over you, or what direction, like how far away was it?
Like from my point of view in the dream, I was like looking straight up at it.
So, was it looking back at you, or?
Yeah, it was looking down at me as it was flying. And then it landed on the perch wherever it was. I can't remember if it was a building or a fence. And then it looked over at me, like it was staring directly at me. I woke up, I had a weird feeling. I felt groggy, all this kind of stuff. I mean, we didn't drink anything really that night, so we felt super weird.
We had a little bit, but not the type that would make you feel like you're out of it, you know what I mean? And so, flash forward, I guess all of a sudden I woke up and I was like, hey, Jared, I had a really weird dream. And I told Jaren that, and he's like, oh, you did? So did I. And then he told me his dream, and then I'll get into mine.
Well, this is what's weird, is when I woke up, I said, Roman, are you here? And I looked over and I saw him in his bed. I'm like, oh, he is here. He's in the yurt with me. So there was some form of fear, like I was by myself.
That we've been split up somehow.
It was a weird feeling.
Yeah, so my dream was really weird too. So I was, in my dream, I was with Jaren in my dream. So I knew, that's the other weird part, is I was with you. We were in this like farmland that was like Ohio or possibly Michigan, and they had these crop fields, you know, and they had like an Airbnb that was right on the very edge. It was a tiny little cabin type house you could stay in. Reminds me of the yurt we were staying in a little bit. And so we're there, we're trying to get away from it for some reason. It felt weird, it felt like we weren't supposed
dangerous.
To be there. Yeah, kind of dangerous. Like I was trying to find a car. The weird part was I was barefoot in my dream, so I was trying to run through this cornfield with no shoes.
I forgot to tell you guys, I was barefoot in my dream too.
Yeah, and so we both connected the dots. thoughts, like, this is really strange. And as we're going through this cornfield, I'm running, and there's like these workers that work at the farm, and they have these jeeps and stuff. And before I see those workers, though, I look up in the sky, and there's an astronaut with his arms spread out like wings, like an osprey, like Jaren's dream, but it's an astronaut wearing like kind of the Tesla astronaut outfit,
the white and gray, just the white like and the gray osprey colors.
But the weird part was that he didn't have the flat visor, black visor. It was more like alien eyes, like just black alien eyes,
just like bird eyes again,
right? Like big black eyes. And it was looking straight down at me, just like Sean asked, was it flying over you? Yes, it was. Was it looking down at me? Yes, it was. The weird part was it landed on top of a farmhouse like nearby, and it started ripping apart. They had these satellites on top of the roof, and it was ripping wires off the satellite for some reason, which was weird. And then as soon as I was watching that, I noticed there was other ones on other rooftops nearby that were astronauts with ships waiting above them, like, so they could independently fly, but they had ships waiting for them. So all that stuff was super weird, and I remember waking up like, what the heck was that? But it was strange because the parallels to my brother's dream, it's kind of uncanny.
It's like the same situation, but a different illustration, if you will, of the character.
Now, look up screen memory. If you go to Google or DuckDuckGo, whatever service you use, look up screen memory, and it tells you kind of what you need to know about this, because that's why I think it was an alien abduction. But we also have further physical proof.
Yeah, so when I woke up, I told Roman, I'm like, hey, how do you feel right now? And he said, I don't know, I just feel kind of weird. I'm like, me too. And I think we looked at our phones, it was like 8:42 or 9 o'clock, which is a little earlier than I would wake up naturally. I'm like a weird night owl, so I stay up super late. I wake up at 10 o'clock, 10:30, whatever. This was like 8:42 or something like that. And I was like, Roman, I was all nervous. Are you here? Then I look at his arm, and he's like, I got this weird mark on my arm. And I said, I know, I have one on my other arm.
So I had mine on the left arm, and it was this tiny little pinprick right where they do IVs.
And I had one on my right arm in the same exact spot.
So hold on a second, I'm going to interrupt this. So you two are identical twins, theoretically, okay? You both experience, and this is going beyond dreams. I'm going to interject this. So you both had a very vivid supposed experience. You both have physical marks that are on opposite arms. My only thing I keep thinking about is you both were abducted at the same time. Yeah. Oh yeah, there it is. Yeah, wow. Crazy, I've never seen it till now.
I still have it on my.
That's crazy, and there he is. Yeah, wow, that is crazy.
Mine's still there.
So
this wasn't here before that. Maybe that's.
So let me ask you guys this. Let me ask you, what do you think makes this different? And I'm not trying to interview you. How do you know for sure this was more than just a dream? What are your clues?
It just felt so real. I woke up so groggy. I woke up feeling fear. I never wake up feeling fear. I wake up feeling pretty rested. I woke up feeling groggy. I was worried that Roman wasn't there, which is super weird. And then I looked at Roman. He was nervous, and he said, I gotta tell you about my dream. And I said, I gotta tell you about my dream.
Yeah.
So we were both like very enthusiastic about our dreams.
That to me is a red flag, because I actually am, sadly, I'm the kind of person that doesn't really remember my dreams most times. If I do, it's super rare. It's like one a year, maybe two a year. You know what I mean?
I'm the opposite. I remember almost every dream. So this is why, for me, it was pretty chill. But for Roman to say, hey, I want to tell you about my dream, that was a red flag for me too.
Yeah. And I was like, I felt the same way. I felt like I'd been separated from him, and I was happy to see that he was right next to me.
Yeah. So the thing that comes to my mind is experimentation on twins.
That's what I wonder.
Right. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah. Are they trying to like mesh a gene into one again?
Well, here's
because it's the same sperm, I guess.
Exactly. You know, you got a prick on one arm, and it's more than a prick. If I remember here the story right, there's a little bit more to this than maybe what you're remembering, but hopefully we can jog that memory back. But you have your right arm that has a prick. You have your left arm that has a prick. You have the same, almost the same identity of a creature hovering over you that, you
white
know.
White and gray.
Yeah. White and gray, same kind of color. You
black
both
eyes.
Had this. So is there a chance that both of you were abducted in a craft and
yeah,
you
I
were
think
both
so.
Pricked to a point where they were experimenting on you?
Here's the thing I'll say. Jaren and I are a different type of twin. We're called mirror twins, monozygotic mirror twins. Basically, typically, I would be left-handed and he'd be right-handed. It's like looking in a mirror.
He was left-handed. Our dad got weirded out that he was messing with his left hand for crayons and things like that when he was a kid, and he turned it to his right hand.
He thought I'd be like having a struggle in life being left-handed, so he kind of made me use my right hand, and so in a way, I'm sort of ambidextrous, but...
Oh, yeah. Catch him playing basketball, you'll see.
Yeah, but I think that's part of why it was in my left arm and it was in his right. It's almost like they knew that about us, if they were the aliens that abducted us or whatever. It is odd. Like, it's weird, too. When I think about it, I'm like, why did I see, like, an astronaut-type character, you know, flying over me like a bird, though, with arms straight out? Usually, they don't fly. You know, they don't have jetpacks or anything.
There was a little connection why I saw a bird, and I'll say this just being true. July was when we went to the Yellowstone own cabin. We go there every year, and there's a big lake there. It's Lake Hebgen or Hebgen.
Hebgen Lake.
Hebgen Lake. And we went swimming there. We were having some fun, and there were some ospreys that were flying around there, and they were diving in for fish and things like that. So that was like, I don't think it was a projection memory. I just think that, yeah, I was sitting in the kayak, and I'm like, man, that's a huge bird. Big white feathers. I was freaking out about it.
See, but this is the thing, though, is like, you could probably have a lot of experiences of people who have had dreams, maybe some similarities, but here's the thing that's catching me is that you woke up with physical marks, you know, yeah. Like, and they're not just any kind of like, I fell down the cliff or something, like, these are pinpricks. So,
like IV pricks.
There's two questions I have. For one, why were you let go if you were in fact abducted? What did they take from you? And three, are you being monitored right now?
I mean, being the fact that we're that type of twin, we have the same blood type. So, and the same fingertips. So if Rome
supposedly
was to,
we have the same DNA.
If Rome was to murder somebody, I could be in trouble for it. It's that kind of vibe.
And go back to historic. If you just Google scientific experiments on twins, I want you to go out and look at World War One, World War Two. I want you to try to find. There's been numerous records of scientific experiments on twins. So I'm just wondering, you know, like, is this still going on? Are aliens trying to figure this out, or is there some kind of a directive to, you know, can they not fabricate this? This is weird to me, you know.
I mean, we were in the middle of a big canyon, and it was pitch black. Like, it's so weird because we live in a city, and there's lights everywhere still in a city. But when you're up in Little Cottonwood Canyon, it's the same place we've been talking about in our previous podcast.
That's where the granite vaults are.
Yeah,
how weird
true.
Is that?
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
we were up in the mountains at Tanner Flats. It's this cool little kind of place where they have campers and yurts and things like that. And you can stay overnight there. It's really fun, actually. We actually had a birthday party there for our 30th birthday. So that's why we went back there, is because we really liked the feel of it. And this was 2 years later now, or 3 years later at this point. I don't know. I really don't know how to explain it, but I do feel like there was something different than just a dream.
And I will say, we do have some weird kind of side effects. In my back, so on the left side of my back, kind of lower, there's a little bit of like a, what I almost call it, like a fatty tumor. There's like a little thing that I can rub that feels like there's like a, almost like a stone beneath my skin, a small stone.
Ooh, you never told me that.
I know, it's something I've sort of discovered recently, and I don't know what it is, so we'll see. But I do think that it's just random because it wasn't there until this moment. And not only that, but I keep having this weird thing, and it's funny because I've talked to Jaren about it, and we both have this thing. We both confirmed with each other. We hear these small sounds that are pretty small, like it shouldn't be freaking you out, and we react to it like it's the loudest sound in your ear.
So a good example is like a car that's like a few roads away is driving by, and it's like a loud muffler car, right? Like a Civic Si or something. And it's pretty quiet. But from my right side of my ear, if it's in that ear, it sounds like it's right by me. So I like jump. I kind of jump and step back and look and see if there's something there.
Like almost as a defense mechanism. Like, am I going to get hit by a car right now? It's that kind of vibe. Sometimes even like a buzzing sound, like it's a bee or something right in your ear.
That's on
my
right side.
Nothing there. And we both keep having this happen where it's like right there in our ear and we freak out. We jump, literally, like we're scared.
And Rowan's on his left side, right where his prick is on his left side of his arm. So
makes me wonder if there's a chip there. And it's like a testing mechanism. Like, hey, how far can we push these guys? Or, you know,
that's happened a lot.
Yeah, that's it's interesting story, not experience more so than a story. But I just can't help but wonder if any of you guys have had an experience similar to that, you know, where the possibility of being abducted, you know, like if you look at some of the things that, if you read some accounts on people who have been abducted, they tend to have similarities in which, you know, there would be some kind of a physical manifestation on their body when they wake up. It reminds me of 411, but it's almost not Bigfoot. You know, when you hear missing 411 and they wake up and they're like shoot, literally miles away from where they last remember. But you guys didn't have that. So this was a pick up and place back situation. I can remember the first time what started me down the paranormal path. Gosh, I'm just going to do it real quick because we're talking about it. I've never had an experience like that. I've had some crazy weird dreams. I have talked to these guys off camera about quite a bit of deja vu that has been happening more and more to me lately, and we can talk about it on another episode. But
synchronicities are,
there's something going on. I will say this, there's something going on right now in the universe that doesn't add up. Something happened, something changed, and I think we're all feeling residual effects. Those of us that were from the other universe that may have been placed here, this is just my speculation, but I think that the whole thing got mixed up. Some people from another universe ended up here and we ended up there. So I think that's why everything's so weird right now.
This is my question, okay? We were in a place where there's campsites. Like, there was literally a campsite 15 feet from us or less. Why? I mean, I know we were partying
kind of outside of the realm of, I mean, it was 11:30 at night.
It wasn't like, even that late. Why were you targeted?
Yeah, we had a fire pit going, that kind of thing. But why would they even risk that? There was like
with so many people
10
around.
To 12 yeah. other campsites right by us with cars parked there. Like people were actually spending the night in those other areas right by us, you know?
And let me ask you, this is a good thing to ask just the public, just the people listening. Have you ever had the synchronicities amping up like we're talking about? Like the fact that things are starting to, it just feels like things are starting to amp up like crazy, you know, like where it's like, I was just talking about this and then the next day it's on TV, you know, they're talking about it on a TV show you're watching or something, where it's like, I should have never been able to connect that and all of a sudden it's here, you know?
I'm going to go out on record here and just say that, you know, for a long time, the three of us, for ages ago, we've always felt like we were on surveillance. Think of Truman Show, right? Like, and to me, like when I think about this encounter you guys had, it only validates that maybe we are, the three of us are being watched in some way. And I know that sounds kind of paranoid, but just think about all the ideas that we come up with out of nowhere. Okay, there's no one around. We come up with a character, we come up with an idea. And then, you know, within months, not even enough time to make a movie, within months, our idea is stolen. It is being broadcasted and then it's discredited from us.
Oh yeah. We have a character that we created that was called Perkins. It was an awesome character. And literally 6 months later, a show pops up, like an actual show called Monster House.
Monster House. It's a great movie. You should watch it.
But it has this character that's like, get off of my lawn, do this and that. That was exactly our character. Then we had another, we did a Batman fan film.
Yeah, the Batman fan film before the Dark Knight trilogy. I remember you guys had it down to a T. The story was made up. It was almost exactly the same.
It was a Joker, Two-Face, Riddler combination. Yeah. So Riddler wasn't in there.
With almost the same layout of film.
I'll tell you, so weird.
I'll tell you one for me, our film Eidolon. We don't have production. We don't have budget. It takes us a long time. We're a couple of high school kids newly graduated with a handy cam trying to make an hour and a half movie. Okay, it's going to take some time. As we come up with this idea, here comes this movie out of nowhere. Like within months, White Noise. And it's a fabulous movie. Michael Keaton. Go out and watch it. Especially it's October time. Go watch it. It's a great movie. But I kid you not, guys, that was an exact stolen idea.
Same from
us. So we have a lot of synchronicities that just point to somebody or something is monitoring us for whatever reason. I believe it could be because the three of us get together, strange things happen. So they might be keeping us apart for one reason or another. Or when we do get together, they're probably monitoring us.
Yeah. Or there's like a powerful aspect of us being together. I feel like when we're together, we create amazing things. And I feel like, who knows? I mean,
maybe they can tap into that energy. Like they can see that there's synchronicity of energy, like what we're talking about. We all vibe, we have the same kind of mentality on it, you know, and they can, like, maybe the universe, somehow you can tap into that and see it, like, oh, this is a good idea because everyone's on the same level.
It just seems like that whatever is after, not what I would say after us in a paranoid way, but almost as if, like, because we come up with this weird energy vibe that it's being tapped into and used, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those, what's it called? It's called, like, the Men That Stare at Goats movie. What do they call that? When you can sit and think about something and be there?
Astral projection?
It's kind of like astral projection, but I wonder if that's what they can do. They can, like, think about, like, what is the highest frequency of energy? If it's all coming together the right way with an idea, and they can just, like, look at it and see it. They're not even recording us, but they can just see it that way and just like copy it. You never know.
Yeah, interesting. Well, thanks for sharing the experience. And if you guys have anything more, please let us know. If you listeners out there have had an experience, please email in. I think it's supernaturalstation5@gmail.com. That is the new email address for this podcast. And you can also email romanishere@gmail.com. Both of those emails are monitored and looking forward to your experiences that we can post them on the air with your permission.
This is the thing, right? I mean, alien abduction is like not a uncommon thing anymore. I think people are starting to open up to it and to have conversations about it. I mean, I've seen so many documentaries recently about it. So yeah, just feel free, reach out. We want to share those experiences.
Totally, yeah. And you'll never have any kind of ridicule from us, because look at all of our experiences are pretty, they're out there. And most people, critics would say, hey, this has got to be made up, you know? But that's what this whole thing is. That's what this podcast is about, is to try to spread awareness and to try to get people to talk about what they've been through.
Okay, well, we're moving on to our last experience that we have for this three-part series. Again, thank you for sticking with us. Part one, if you haven't listened to the whole series, please go back and listen to part one, as the next experience that we're about to tell you is very relative. And also, if you haven't checked out that website that talks about the Utah Underground Crossroads or Crossworld experience, please go ahead and read that. This is a crucial part of our story. It was one of the manifestations of our continuing road for the paranormal in Utah. And crazy enough, guys, this actually did help us lead to a couple of other connections like Alien Dave and things like that that was big back then. So we're going to go ahead and let Roman kick it off here.
As it turns out, we would go to the Salt Lake City Temple a lot. We would go to that area often, and we would see these guys that we called the Watchers. These guys that would have these little earpieces, and they'd pop out of random doors that looked like they shouldn't have existed. And they'd just pop out, and they'd watch us for a little while, and they'd talk to their earpiece, and, you know, we saw that. And so once we ran into this article, and we started reading it, it's like all these things started clicking. It's like, let's go downtown. Let's go to the Crossroads Mall. Let's check it out. Let's see if we can find these doors they're talking about. Let's see if we can get these sublevels. And let's see if we can just kind of corroborate this story.
Yeah, so what we did is, like Roman said, we had been down there several times, and these guys are like the men in black of Utah. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that people say, well, they're just security. Well, okay, come on, what are you securing for? And nonetheless, they would follow us all the time. They knew that we knew something. You know, yeah. They would talk to whoever they're talking to. They knew that we knew something was up with what was really going on down there. And so we were constantly followed by these guys.
So what I remember is we finally got to the mall, right? We decided, let's go there. Let's investigate this. So we got there, and it was just the two of us, me and Sean. And we dressed up,
by the way.
Oh, yeah,
up. Yeah, what we did is we dressed up in suits with a red tie, because if anybody knows Utah, you have to dress up in a suit and a tie. Otherwise, you're not even going to be considered eligible to even, like, get close.
Yeah, I mean, we figured it might let us into places that we didn't belong, maybe.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know? White shirt and the red tie.
Yeah, we had the black jacket, red tie, the white shirt, the whole shabam there.
Yep. So I just remember, because you brought up the food court. The food court was down the escalator. It was like below the main level.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. So we got there and we're like, okay, we're right below the main level. That's like the first sub level. And I just remember we're there and we're like, and we saw this door that was off to the side.
It was off to the left side. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what we did, guys, is we actually printed off the site. Not to interrupt you.
No,
but
hey, go for it.
We printed a, so this, as we read through the Crossroads or Crossworlds, it was so detailed that we're like, let's try this out. Let's see if this is any validity to this. So we printed it out. We had it in our pocket. And sure enough, you know, with the janitorial and the security guard, as you went into, when it was there, you went in from the temple facing side and you walked in on the, it was the south side entrance. And when you walked in, it was a diagonal escalator off to the left there that kind of went down in a diagonal fashion to get to the second level of the mall. And when you went down there, there was the food court. There was an unmarked door onto the left that was described in this article that we followed.
There was no marking. It didn't say bathroom. It didn't say just.
It was just a door.
Custodial. Nothing.
Nope.
Right?
Yeah. There was no marking. It was just some door. Mm-hmm. And we assumed by looking at what was documented, well, this has to be the door because we're on the lowest level. We're at the, you know, the entry point to where things. So we just kind of put the pieces together and kind of went on our own national treasure kind of hunt.
Right. And I would have pictured, because I thought it looked like some kind of custodial closet, right? Like, you open the door, you're going to think you're going to see mops and stuff like that. I didn't see that. I saw, like, a hallway. Mm-hmm. Instantly. Like,
yeah.
Just a very plain as day, like, just white walls,
yep.
Concrete floor, just a hallway.
Yep. And it's kind of like backstage. Like, if there's anything backstage, you know how they don't, like, dress anything up backstage. So you took a left in this hall, in this door, and then when you went through the door, you looked to your right, and it went down a parallel hallway that was unmarked. And if you went all the way down the hallway, and you made a left, and then you walked maybe about 20 to 50 feet, then you made another right, and you entered this room that was, if I remember right, it kind of had like Mormonism, like a Mormon painting. You know how they have those,
yeah,
like
they
those
had, like,
morning painting.
And, like,
there was a
Mormon
it was a
pictures.
Conference room of some kind.
Yeah.
And so we went in there, and as you entered the conference room, and immediately, you know, in the center of the room there was a couch, they're painting almost like a lounge kind of area.
Yeah.
But if you look to the left around the corner, there was an elevator inside of that room. There was a second elevator inside of this room, and so we took it and we just pushed the button. There was only one button, I remember.
Yeah.
It was a stainless steel door, and we pushed the button. We went in the elevator. There was only two or three levels, and I think it was level two or three that we pushed. I don't think we went down to three, because I don't remember being in the elevator that long. So we went down to two, which took us down another level below where we currently were, which that would, according to the article, would have been the third level. So there had to have been another level below that, which is probably where the door was. So we didn't make it down that far, but we made it down far enough. So we get out of the elevator, we exited through this other room that was kind of similar, and I remember we backtracked our way down thinking that there would be the same kind of hallway. And when we left that room, we took a left, and it wasn't the same layout. There was a very long hallway down the left corridor. Like, when you exited the room, you shifted to the left, and there was, instead of maybe like a 20-foot hallway with a wall,
it was long.
It went all the way down there.
Hallway type vibe, yeah.
And it was weird because it had all the, like, the LDS kind of paintings all down the hallway. It had security cameras that were up in there, so there was definitely something weird, but we didn't get all the way down to seeing anything nefarious that I remember. That's about where my memory leaves until we started getting chased out. So we ended up going down, and, you know, we were dressed up and stuff. And dude, I honestly, this is what I remember. You remember when the Apple earphones came out and they recorded?
Yeah.
So what we did is we put them around our ear, and we made it, we tried to replicate us being like security guards. So you know how we didn't have the curly piece of the headphone, but we had the long white wire that curled around our ear just to try to pretend, but that didn't work out so well. So we ended up going down this hallway, and it was the weirdest thing in the world because, like, everything, the whole dynamic of the environment changed.
It felt scary. Out of nowhere, I kind of got a weird vibe, like we were in trouble.
Yeah, and we knew we were being watched. And and so we didn't get down very far, but I remember we went down that hallway quite a bit, and I don't know if it was a left or a right that there was another, and there was another way that entered, it was like the tunnels, right? So, like, it wasn't quite as big as a semi-truck, but you knew that you were down into the underground. But then by the time we got to the end of that hallway and we were either going to do a left or right, that's when we started noticing guys coming around because we were on camera. The fuzz kind of guys were starting to make their way out of nowhere, and they were nonchalantly kind of watching us. They wanted to see how far we would go. Maybe they thought we were lost or something, right? So they didn't. They kind of kept their distance, and I remember seeing them. But Roman and I started getting freaked out. We're like, okay, now we're in an area that we shouldn't be. Like, we got this ominous feeling that we definitely kind of crossed we overstayed our welcome.
Yeah.
You know, so
our comfort zone was gone.
But
at that point.
Where we were, we were like scared. We were like, we got to get out of here, like, or we're going to get kidnapped or something, right? Yeah. Something's going to happen to us. So now we're scrambling to try to find that room, that room to let us Same back room. Up to that room. And we couldn't find it down there. Yeah. We got lost for a minute.
Scary, yeah.
Yeah, so we got lost for a minute, and we were taking...
What do you think you would do if that was you?
Yeah, I want to hear it. Like, what do you think?
What did those people look like? Were they sunglasses, like, full-on MIB style, or were they...
They were MIB style, but no sunglasses.
They were bald, though. They were bald.
Were they looking...
The guy I remember was bald. He was hairless.
Were they looking directly at you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Chasing you?
Oh, yeah. And this is the weirdest thing, too, is they remembered us. We were probably, like, one of the top watch for these guys at the moment.
I don't know if they thought we were, like, some terrorists or something, because maybe, I don't know, the terror watch was kind of high back then, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but all I knew is we were like, okay, we overstayed our welcome. We didn't get to the part we were looking for. We were actually trying to hopefully find, like, a carved door or something like that, but we didn't make it down there enough, but we knew we had to get out of there. We were starting to be followed, but we started getting lost, and we couldn't find our way back because...
Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember how we got out. Now, the exact detail of how we ended up in this second room, it was beyond me. I don't know, because we got lost. We started taking all these hallways, and all we knew is just to avoid the guys that were nonchalantly kind of following us and watching us.
Yeah, I like that you said nonchalantly, because they weren't, like, chasing us.
No, they were just watching us.
They weren't, like, sprinting.
They wanted to see what we would
do. Like, you'd picture if you go into a government facility that you're not supposed to be at, they'd be like, hey, stop, like, you gotta come with me. They didn't talk to us. They didn't even chase us.
Nope.
It was more like they saw us and they established their presence with us, but they didn't, like, chase us down.
Right.
It was really strange.
The thing is I think that they knew that we knew something. So we had one of two choices. It was, you know, let's try to intimidate them by just kind of making sure they know we're watching them. And to be honest, if we would have kept going, I really would have thought that we would have been approached and maybe interrogated or even detained.
My thought, not being there, was if you were, I mean, you have two options. get the heck out of there, find a way out, or play it off and do the craziest acting you guys have ever done in your life. I mean, I can't imagine doing that, but standing in a corner, like, they come up, they're like, hey, what's your clearance level? You're like, 1627 SP. It's like, what does that mean? Like, how would you guys play that off?
Well, I wonder about these guys. I wonder if, like, maybe they are master observers, because they're, like, looking at us, like, they would know if we're supposed to be there or not. Like, we would know where we're going, you know, and, like, they're watching us. We kind of look like we're lost.
I think that that's what saved us, actually,
I think it'd be weird if, like, we knew what we were doing more. They would have approached us more. I think they're just kind of observing to see what we do, and we didn't do what they thought, and it's like, okay, they're probably lost. They'll find their way out or something. Who knows?
So there was a guy, and he wasn't the Men in Black looking guy, but he was like a church member or something that was
like
down there. Yeah,
a normal nerdy guy.
There was a normal looking nerdy guy that was not one of the guys following us, but we encountered him, and by then we're panicking, right? And I do remember being approached by somebody, and he had hair, and we're like, we're just trying to get out of here. We got lost. We were in the mall, and I remember we talked to this guy, and he's the one who helped us find this way out.
Yeah, he's like, come this way, I'll help you out of here.
So he's the one who helped guide us to this other elevator. It was in a completely different room.
Yeah.
And I don't know where we were underneath the ground, but here's what I do know is he helped us find the elevator. He said, if you take this, push this button, and it'll let you out. So we did it, right? Because we're like, let's get out of here. We're done. And we overstayed our welcome. So we get in this elevator, and we push the button, and he helps us out. He's like, see ya. We open up the door, we get out of there, and this is where we were, okay? We were at the corner of... We were at a different spot downtown.
It was a main street,
though. And there was a key bank on the corner, and we were actually in an adjacent building that was connected within the key bank.
Yeah.
And it was unnamed. And when we exited the elevator, I kid you not, we exited the elevator like you normally would an elevator. The door shuts. We turned around, and there was no elevator door. Absolutely none. It was just a wall. The wall was actually concealing this hidden elevator. And that's where we were. And I remember we'd made a left. We walked a little bit ways. Then we were in the entry of the key bank lobby. And then we made a right, and we were outside on the street.
You know what makes me more pissed off about the hidden elevator vibe? Is that there wasn't the food court when you guys came back up there. Because I'm looking for Sbarro. I'm always looking for Sbarro.
So this goes back to, did we end up the underground Salt Lake City? Yes, we did. We know for a fact that we were in some sub-level.
We were below than we should have been. More below than we should have been.
We definitely
like
were...
the third or fourth.
The unauthorized clearance
sub-level.
Yeah.
We definitely were below the sub-parking level.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
for dang sure. I know for that for a fact. Because if you go down there now, you'll see vents. And you can tell that they're parking vents, like for parking garages. We were below that. And again, guys, the Crossroads Mall, they tore that up pretty dang quick in hopes to... With all these things going on, like, it doesn't surprise me that they were needing to revamp, you know, whether or not, hey, we need to seal this off. People are getting down under here.
And that remodel was pretty massive. Like, the City Creek Mall now is huge, and it was a big remodel. Like, I mean, that thing looks nothing like what the Crossroads Mall used to look like. You know, it's just all brand new. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful mall. But I don't know where those doorways went. I mean, they're under the ground, obviously. Yeah, and somebody knows how to get there.
Yeah, so if you listeners have had any experience like that or similar, please email us in. We'd love to hear about it. We'd love to have you on the show. We'd love to hear and broadcast your stories. We are personally interested in figuring out what's going on down there, if there's still access to the tunnels. I remember, guys, when they were deconstructing and tearing out the mall, if you were to peek through the construction gates and look down, I remember there were several stories of foundation that was in that hole that they dug it all out. And I remember seeing a couple of weird doors in some of the foundation.
And that was on the right side. That was on the east side.
Yeah.
You guys are talking west side most of the time.
Correct.
With your story.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something going on underground that whole location. And I totally remember that. And I wasn't with you guys, but it was weird to see like 4, 5, 6 levels of sub-level.
But yeah, I mean, what Sean said, we want to know if you have anything to say about this, if you have any experiences. The crappy thing is that you get more questions and they never get answered. That's the thing that bothers me. I sit and log it away and there's no answers. So if anybody knows anything, please email us.
How would you guys feel if we knew the answers though? Like, where are we at right now? I mean, it's 2021, October 26th, 12 in the morning. How do you guys feel about that? Like, what would you say if we knew exactly what happened down there?
I just find it weird that they're retrofitting and all that. They put up walls. You're not allowed to see what's going on. It's almost like they're completely revamping the underground tunnel system substructure.
And now they're doing it at the temple, which is right next door.
But do you think we'd be ready for the truth? I think we are. I think...
You mean the general public? You mean?
Yeah, I think the general society is ready for stuff. I mean, now everyone knows UFOs are a thing after the whole Tic Tac video.
Which, of course, we knew that was the case.
We knew that for so long, but I'm saying that no one panicked. No one, like, freaked out and blew anything up, you know, and lost their cool. Everyone's like, okay, I guess there's aliens, or I guess there's UFOs. Who knows?
It's kind of more like, okay, there's aliens. It's more like, like, oh, finally the government's willing to say it.
All right, yeah, interesting, spooky, weird stuff going on in Utah. Utah's a hotspot, guys. It really is. And with more and more people moving here now, maybe we'll get more and more people being able to voice their experiences and concerns. And
the dust will be shaken off.
Yep. Watch out, Utah. We're coming. You're a hot spot. You're a target now. Well, audience, thank you for joining us on this three-part series of talking about everything Utah downtown. There's certainly a lot more to be said, but we are out of time for this three-part series. I am your co-host, Sean Lawrence, joined with your regular host, Roman Daniels, and your buster boy, Jaron Daniels. Always a lighthearted guy. Love him. Love being on the show. Thank you guys for having me here.
Dude, we appreciate you being here. I mean, it's not the same show without you, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I love your guys' show anyway. I'll listen to it. So please stay tuned. We have a lot more experiences, and to be honest, guys, I'm thinking a live episode one of these days. I'm thinking sure. I'm thinking we head up to the primary children's area and we'll do a live broadcast.
Let's do a live video broadcast, and let's get somebody on there. Pull up somebody else's video and have a conversation with them about their own experiences. I'm down for that.
We got things like old primary children's. We got an apparition we caught once over there.
Basically, in a nutshell, we got so much more to come.
And don't even get me started. We haven't even talked about Trolley Square.
Are you not entertained? Did we not blow your mind on all this other stuff?
Skinwalker Ranch. We haven't gone there yet, but there's
We've probably gotten to 30% of the stuff we've dealt with in our past.
And I should say, this is not just a Utah show. This is just what we're familiar with. We're going to cover the whole gamut. So send us the stories. If you have something that you want us to cover, we'll cover it. We're doing our own research, but without you, we can't find it all.
Thank you, Roman.
Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.